As we continue our series on what it means to be vibrant, to be experiencing what the Lord Jesus said that he would give us, not only eternal life, but life more abundant, life that is overflowing, a life that is obviously supernaturally empowered, a life that is showing forth the reality of our identity with the one who is the creator of all life. And today we're going to look at seeing Jesus in us. That's what should be if we indeed are living that revived life, that vibrant life. Growing up, when I gave my name, I had to add something to the end of it, and that was Junior. And so it was always Wayne Van Gelderen Jr. And I was thankful that I carried my father's name and was proud of that. However, I became more and more aware as I was older that since I had his exact name, my life, my behavior, what I did was going to reflect upon him. Having his name began to be, at first it was maybe a slight negative, but it became an extremely major positive as I realized that I wanted to reflect well upon the name of my father. Well, we all have Christ's name. We are Christians if we truly are believers. Guy King, who's written commentaries, relates the following story. He said that years ago, when he was leading the Children's Special Service Mission at one of the South Coast holiday resorts, he was approaching the beach one morning and a little fella was going along there too. As he caught sight of me, he said, "Mommy, here comes that Jesus man." He only meant that I was the man who spoke to the children about the Savior, but his remark went to my very heart that day. What right had I to be called a Jesus man? What kind of resemblance was there in my life to Jesus? Yes, the name of Jesus, the life of Jesus we represent. I had the privilege, as I've mentioned a number of times, of working with Russian Gospel Ministries for years. I had the privilege of helping lead that mission. And Georgie Venz was a top leader of the Russian Baptists and was imprisoned for a number of years in Siberia. He was released under Jimmy Carter, came and formed a mission to the Russian people while they were still behind what was called then the Iron Curtain. And so I'm always very sensitive to the different testimonies coming out of that period of time. And one story appeared in a Christian periodical back in 1974, and it was about a former criminal, Kozlov. He was quite a criminal, but later he got saved and later became a church leader. And I want to give you this quote that he spoke of as his life in the Soviet prison. "Among the general despair, while prisoners like myself were cursing ourselves, the camp, the authorities, while we opened up our veins or our stomachs or hanged ourselves, the Christians, often with sentences of 20 to 25 years, did not despair. One could see Christ reflected in their faces, their pure, upright life, deep faith and devotion to God. Their gentleness and their wonderful manliness became a shining example of real life for thousands." That kind of testimony, by the way, was real and deeply impacted many people for the cause of Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to our text of these last several months, looking at this matter of vibrancy, Colossians chapter 3, as we look at the matter of the risen life, since we are risen with Christ. We are to be seeking those things which are above. We are a new man, and therefore our lives can be transformed, can be vibrant. And we've been looking at the practical applications of what that means to our life. And as we've been going down, verse 16 would be the next verse. However, I'm going to postpone that verse for several weeks, and I'm going to have Mr. Daniel Van Gelderen preach that message on chapter 3, verse 16, which is a very key one on the importance of a biblical view of music and of praise to the Lord. So I'm going now to our text for today, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, sometimes we would go over a verse like this fairly quickly, but I just want to submit to you that it's an explosive verse if we really think about it. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we fully embrace that, we'd be radically different people. So I'm only going to have two key points, but they're very important ones here this morning. First of all, we should have the testimony of Christ because we are living according to the name of Christ. We are to do everything. Things that we say and things that we do should be in the name, identified with the name, in the authority of the name, all of these different aspects. And so I want to start with the fact that we are identified with Christ. We have his name. But far more than that, folks, as we took some major time at the beginning of this chapter, more than that is the fact that in genuine spiritual reality, we are identified with our Savior. We are in Christ. We are children of God. We have been brought into a united relationship with him. If you look back up at verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God when Christ, who is our life. My friends, it's something that we have to accept by faith. It's hard for us to fully comprehend. But right now, if you're a believer and as you're sitting there here in this auditorium, you are fully identified with Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. You are in him. And he is in us by the full indwelling of the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of the living God in our inner man, which has been regenerated, made alive through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we are completely identified with him. In fact, we love to go to Romans 6, and one of the verses in Romans 6 makes it very clear in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We have been identified with his full work on the cross. We are identified with his resurrection. We are identified with his ascension. And everything he did, it's as though we were there on the cross. We were there at the resurrection. We were there at the ascension. And my friends, spiritually, we are in Christ far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And folks, that's an amazing thing. From a sinner deserving of hell, we have been made a child of God, a joint heir with Christ, and we are identified with him. And so when we talk about whatever we do in word or deed in the name of Jesus, it's based upon the fact that we are identified with him. After the death of Gustavus the Great, King of Sweden, in 1632, the chief statesmen of the country met to decide the future government. Some proposed a republic, others thought that the vacant throne be offered to Poland, the King of Poland. In the midst of the deliberations, the chancellor suddenly rose. Let there be no talk of a republic or of a Polish king, he wrote, for the great Gustavus has left an heir, a daughter 6 years of age. Well, a gasp went across the crowd. This was not generally known, and the statement was very surprising. One of them inquired, how do we know that this is not a trick of yours? We've never seen this child. We're not aware that he had one. He said, wait a minute. The chancellor replied, I will show you. Leaving the room, he returned with a little girl whom he placed on the throne that only the rulers of Sweden had the right to sit. The man who had expressed his disbelief pressed forward and gazed intently upon her face. Then turning to the assembly, he said, comrades, I see in this child the features of the great Gustavus. Look at his nose, at her nose, her eyes, her chin. She is indeed the daughter of our king. And that was enough. As young as she was, they acclaimed her as Christina, Queen of Sweden. Well, my friends, there's more of a likeness than that. and there should be seen in us. We are children of the King. We are joint heirs. You say, boy, I sure don't feel like it. And I hate to say it, none of you look like it either, and neither do I. But if we're walking with God, we do. Because the glory of who we really are begins to shine forth in us. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so we need to understand that as we walk around in this world, yes, we're but human beings. We're but sinners saved by grace. But that being saved by grace has made our whole situation dramatically different. Our spirit is created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 3:24. The mighty Spirit of God, the Creator, indwells us. He brings us into a reality of that relationship with Christ. And as a believer, as a Christian, we are bearing his name, and more than that, we are bearing him in our very being. Now, folks, in this lost, dark world that's groping for some kind of meaning, I trust you understand, as I said, this is a radical verse, that what God is saying is that we need to be showing forth the reality of who we really are. I mean, there should be no doubt. Just like in that prison, there should be no doubt as across the world in different places where people have known those people are believers. They have had a transformation in their life. God is real to them. As you go down chapter 3, because of who we are, we can mortify the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to live according to the flesh. We can put off the inner sins of anger and all of those issues that mark this lost world. And we can live with godly attitudes of love and peace and the graciousness of God. Oh, there ought be no doubt we are believers. And so that means we're representing Christ. In the name of Jesus, some look at it from the emphasis of being followers of the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. As the one that you're identified with and the one that God has called us to represent. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now let's just stop here for a moment and just honestly think on this. Everything we do ought to lift up his name. Everything we do ought to cause people to think of Christ. Now I'm not talking about a false piety. I'm not talking about anything unique. I'm talking about vibrant, genuine, down-to-earth, real living in which Christ is seen in our lives. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. The story I've mentioned before, I think it's a wonderful one from early missions in China. There was a missionary to China who was in charge of the language school to the missionaries when they came to China. And the very first day of class, the teacher entered the room, and without saying a word, she walked down every row of the students. Finally, still without saying a word, she walked out of the room again. Then she came back and addressed the class. Did you notice anything special about me? Nobody could think of anything in particular. One student finally raised her hand and said, I noticed you had on a very lovely perfume. The class chuckled, but the teacher said, that was exactly the point. You see, it will be a long time before any of you will be able to speak Chinese well enough to share the gospel with anyone. But even before you're able to do that, you can minister the sweet fragrance of Christ to these people by the quality of your lives. It is your lifestyle lived out among the Chinese people that will minister Christ to them long before you're able to say one word to them about personal faith in Christ. Folks, people watch our lives, and that is not the only way they're going to be saved. Without the spoken word, they cannot be saved. But it will give the entrance into the heart if we are genuinely walking in the power of the Spirit of God. Nothing should be in the power of the flesh. Let me just ask you, how much of your life is just sort of secular? We live in a secular age. Would you agree with me? This is no longer a Judeo-Christian culture. This is basically a secular culture. And we as people adapt to our culture, don't we? The way we talk, the things we do, the priorities we have, the ways we cope with life. That is just normal for us to do what the majority of any culture does. But because we are a secular culture, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of Bible Christianity is pretty secular. Non-God. Not anti-God, but not speaking forth of the genuine change that should be occurring in our life because we are a believer. And so we need to be asking ourselves, how much of what we say, how much of what we do, clearly speaks to the fact that our citizenship is in heaven, that Jesus truly is the Lord of our life, that He is alive in us, and that we are in full relationship to Him. I want you to listen closely to this quote by Barclay. One of the best tests of any action is, can we do it calling upon the name of Jesus? Can we do it asking for His help? One of the best tests of any word is, can we speak it and in the same breath speak the name of Jesus? Can we speak it remembering that He will hear? If we bring every word and deed to the test of the presence of Jesus Christ, we will not go wrong. I think a lot of things that are said would be stopped immediately if we realized, can we add the name of Jesus to that? Not as a swear word. Is He pleased when we talk about somebody else? Is He pleased when we get upset? What about our attitudes? What about our body language? What about the places we go and the priorities that we have? Can we do it in the name of Jesus? Can we do it with a sense He's pleased? Can we do it with a sense that He's leading us? You say, well, Pastor, you know, there's a lot of just little things in our life. Did you know that when you spend time with God, the Spirit of God knows all about the little things of life? And you can have just this freedom as you just ask Him for priorities and direction that He's leading and guiding, and you're doing it in the name of Jesus. God has every day, folks, divine appointments for every one of us that are believers. He will orchestrate how we do things. If we're just sensitive to Him, just asking for His help, He will bring us across people's paths. He will accomplish things in ways we would never have dreamed if we are doing everything in the name of Jesus. Our lives should have that sense of supernatural touch on a regular basis. And let me just say on the strong other side, nothing should be done that He could not bless. And by the way, we don't need to wait till the next morning to confess our sins. When we do something that is not pleasing to Him, immediately we need to cry out for mercy and correct that at that moment. We should do all in His name. Everything, every word spoken, everything that's done, every action. Did I not warn you at the beginning that this is a rather radical verse? I can't preach it any less than what it says. This is the vibrant life. This is the life that is the new man in Him. This is what God has given to us. And by the way, folks, this is not hard. This is not negative. This is shouting ground that I can live that way, that I can have the power to overcome the flesh and actually please God each hour and each moment of every day. What a blessing. And another thought is that when you talk about do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, it also has the idea by His authority. You know, if we are doing things in the realization of our identity with Him, and if we're doing what we're doing with the idea to represent who we are in Him, then we're going to have the understanding that though we don't have any authority, we've got His authority. I'll tell you, Dad, do you know how to lead your family right? Have the authority of Jesus. Not your own authority, but the gracious, but very clear authority of the Lord Jesus. Same thing in any aspect of our life. Did you know that we have the authority to proclaim the gospel because Jesus told us to? And so we don't need to fear when he touches our heart to talk to somebody about Jesus. We go in his authority, in his name. We have the right because we are of Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Listen, folks, anything we do, we can go in the authority of the one who sits at the throne, who by his spoken word put all the planets and all the stars into the universe, who holds all energy and all atomic power in his very hand. That one has given us his name. We are Christians. And if we're walking with him and we have that true sense of identity with him, there is a new level of authority that isn't humanly pushed, but it's just real. That's why children will follow godly parents. That's where God will work in discipleships. That's where we can have his strength when we're on the job in very difficult circumstances, not trying to manipulate things humanly, but the authority of Christ is there. That's a pretty major thing to be thinking. You know, I am an ambassador of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. Now, it's very interesting. The second point of this message is one that you wouldn't necessarily think would be the second point. But let's go back to the text, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's all tied together. We cannot live a life in the name and identity and the authority of Jesus Christ without an attitude of such trust in him that we are thankful for all that God is allowing in our life. A Christian who is not thankful is a Christian who is not really thinking of that relationship with the Lord, that all that God is doing in our life, he is superintending. And if we're trusting him, all things are working together for the good of his purposes being accomplished through us. Nicholson, the commentator, said, "This is said to mark the fact that any effective naming of Christ is with the heart and the power of realization. This means joyous, loving, obliging thoughts, thoughts of God's love sent up to God through Christ, who is the one channel from God to us and from us to God. So let us be consecrated to God." In other words, when we are walking in that relationship with him and we're realizing that everything we do represents him, there is just an overwhelming realization. I am who I am because of the grace of God. I'm able to be used moment by moment. My life counts. Everything is in his care. He is holding me in the safety of his authority. And there's just a heart of praise. I'll tell you, a praising Christian is in the will of God. A Christian who is just thankful all the time and not bitter and not blaming and not frustrated and not with a bad attitude, but a Christian that just totally trusts the Lord is one who is in the kind of situation where everything in word or deed is being done in the name of Jesus Christ. And so this truly does go together. C.H. Spurgeon said, "The Christian's aim in life is to live for God's glory. If he does so, no persecution can ever shake him. If his goods be spoiled," he says, "if it glorifies God for me to lose my property, I'm no loser. I gave my goods to God years ago." If he is put in prison, he says, "I have lost my liberty, but I am no loser. I give up my liberty to God long ago." If they tell him that he will die, he says, "I am no loser, for I gave him my life long ago. I am altogether Christ." Do you see the connection? When you're totally abandoned to the will of God, and everything you do in word or deed, you truly want to glorify him, then as life goes and as God is working, as you're in the spiritual battle, as you have the course of life that he has set for you, you are aware of his goodness, his grace. He's leading you, he's working, you're fellowshipping with him. And so when the negative comes, you are thankful because you know that God's working. You know that he's preparing you for something else. He's directing your life and you're so overwhelmed by his goodness that there's nothing that he cannot have. You're free from everything you think you need to have. And by the way, all of our misery is things we think we need to have. The only times we have problems is because we're selfish. But when that selfishness is broken by the power of God, then there's praise and thankfulness for how God is leading. There is just that constant peace that God gives. And so you notice it's speaking all in the name of Jesus, so therefore it's in everything. We often quote at Thanksgiving, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. All right, right now, how thankful are you about last week? Wasn't that a great week? Now, I'm not talking about the missions conference, that was great, but I'm just talking about your week, okay? How many of you had one day you didn't feel the best? Come on, be honest, okay. I won't ask more than one day. Some of you, it's seven. But anyway, how many of you had something that just didn't go the way you wanted to last week? All right. Okay, most of us are going to raise our hand. But it was a great week. You see, it's a great week if you do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you can trust Him. He doesn't make mistakes. And when we make a wrong step, He forgives, and He even will use that to teach us. His glorious, firm, but yet loving hand is right there to guide and direct us. And so in everything, we can give thanks. I read the story about a captain, William Clark, found a whale washed up in Oregon coast by huge waves, and this was years ago, and with satisfaction, he talked about the quantity of oil. He said, "Small as this stock is," he wrote in his journal, "I prize it highly and thank Providence for directing the whale to us and think him much more kind to us than he was to Jonah, having this monster to be swallowed by us instead of swallowing of us as Jonah's did." But, you sort of chuckle. He's excited about he got some oil. That's a big deal back then. But think of the little ways God provided. Think just even right now. Has God been good to you this last week? Even though you didn't feel good one day? Even though things didn't go the best? Aren't you glad for His provision, His care? If you're a Christian, aren't you glad you know you're going to heaven? Aren't you thankful as you hear the news, you know that God's over all? And that actually the news is showing that the Bible is totally accurate? I mean, we could go on and talk about the blessings that we have as believers. And oh, we ought to be like an evergreen tree during the winter, showing still life and beauty, because we, even in the most wintry type times, are having that fellowship with God in word or deed. We are doing everything we can in the name of Jesus to glorify Him, and we're giving thanks. And that spirit and that attitude is how God works mightily in families, how God brings a community to Christ, is when God's people understand everything they say and everything they do must be in the name of Jesus Christ. It's through Christ. It's through His power that we can do this. Every month, I quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, as we began the Lord's Supper, I read, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He's betrayed, took bread." And say it out loud with me. "And when He had given thanks," and then we go on, "and He broke it." We're representing what? His crucifixion. He gave thanks. If He could give thanks for that, and of course He had us in mind, as I often mention at that time, can we not, through His power and living out His life, truly give thanks for even the most difficult things that we face? That only comes, though, for living for Him. Every aspect, word or deed. Near the end of her life, Frances Havergal jotted down every day on a little calendar something, often a little thing, for which she thanked God. It was her way of thinking about thanking. That's why we include in the little bit of a outline that we give you for praying an extended time, there needs to be 5 minutes of thankfulness. Just thanking God. Sometimes it's the little things that are such a joy, because you see the personal hand of a sovereign God who has touched our life, shown his care for us, and has worked in our lives. Well, let me ask you this morning, are you thankful that you can say, I'm a Christian? Let me try that again. Are we thankful we can say we're a Christian? All right, thank you. Oh, at least three of you were awake through the message there. Thankful that we are a Christian. But how much can we say? Everything we do, every word we say, every deed we're involved in is in identification with Jesus, is to represent Jesus, and is in his authority so that we can be thankful for his working in our life. That's something we need to evaluate. Everything, give thanks. Everything, do according to his power and for his purpose. Folks, is Jesus worthy? All it's going to take is one look at him and see his hands and his feet, the only wounded person in all of heaven. And it'll take you an eternity to get over what he really did. But you know, the believers that truly live for him now are seeing that and understanding what Christ has done and loving him and truly abandoning our lives to him, so that he can be seen through us. Let's bow for prayer.